Make it amazing. Make it go, make it diamond. Make it amazing. Make him clap, make him jelly. Make it amazing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Your Career Choice or Chance, Gen AI in the Workplace. I'm your host, Mike McDade, and I'm happy to have you with us while we explore how the new era of AI affects SDLC and the development processes. Today's special guest is Jeremy Smith, the CTO of engineering at Amdocs Technology. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Mike.
So before we begin, as with every episode, let me introduce our AI co-host, Alex, who's with us throughout this discussion and will ask us the final question to bring a unique perspective on AI as well.
Thank you, Mike, and welcome, Jeremy. I'm excited to be here with you today and can't wait to learn how AI impacts software development lifecycle.
So before we dive in, Jeremy, let's go backwards. Let's start at the basics. Can you tell us, what do you do? What's your day job? How do you interact with the software development lifecycle? Let's start there.
Okay, so I work in a cross capacity within the engineering team in Amdocs Technology. So I look at a variety of things that affect all groups. So when we started getting into AI, we started to look at how it would impact the organization in many different dimensions. The SDLC was obviously a key thing, being part of an engineering group, and we built models to try and understand which roles would be impacted. We tried to come up with ways to measure impact, which is tricky. We'll probably talk about that. And of course, we worked on internally within the company, we've worked on a range of initiatives to bring in AI into all the different aspects of the SDLC.
So maybe let's start with the process. The software development lifecycle, what does it include? Where does it start? Where does it end? Let's maybe give some context for everyone who's listening.
In its most sort of naive form, you start from requirements, analysis, design, development, deployment, testing, documentation, operations, right? And in a company like Amdocs, we do software development in many different dimensions, right? So you have what I would call core products. You then have implementation, customization. You have bespoke software development for customers. And of course, we have a large managed service operation, which does its own software development. So depending upon where you look, the SDLC can vary. And this is very important for AI, because when you're talking about AI adoption, because some of the wonderful stories you may have read, enormous in increases in productivity. When you dive beneath the covers, you'll see that those impact a specific task for a specific role or persona. And that may be in only one part of that software development lifecycle. And depending upon whether a team's doing maintenance or prototyping, is focused on deployments, the opportunity for those amazing gains varies.
This is 3% of one developer's day job versus 20% of another's.
Exactly.
And yeah. Makes sense.
For example, if you have teams building new screens, building functionality at the customer-facing side of things versus a back-end team, then the combination of low-code and AI has been very impressive. But we have teams that are doing maintenance, teams that are working on back-end code. So it all depends. You have to look where in the life cycle, what the team is doing, and then trying to generalize that impact is an interesting challenge in itself.
So like when you think back, let's go back 10 years or something. When you think back at other technologies that have come along, right? We've gone through, let's call it the pre-Gen AI era, right? We've gone through the cloud era. Let's say that those are all in different stages of maturity. Like, how would you compare this based on where we are today? How do you think about the difference now versus what has come before?
I genuinely do believe this is different. It's the pervasive aspect of it. So it will take time to get it right. We're all learning that. We're all learning that. Data hygiene with your knowledge sources suddenly becomes a very important thing, right? Because you want to leverage all of that knowledge and put it to work, right? Well, if you weren't previously paying careful attention to all of that, your results can be skewed by data that's not valid. But if you think about all the different dimensions that an R&D team can be influenced by, whether it's just their day-to-day work using whatever the office tools are, email, presentation material, etc., being able to ask questions and summarize endless email threads, or ask a question against a variety of back-end knowledge sources that you have a RAG capability running against, right? This, as a set of things, will lift all ships, right? The tide will lift all boats. it will your mileage will vary across it, but it's that pervasive nature. And we definitely see with some of the coding tools, right, that there are significant impacts in certain areas, less so in others. It varies, right? But as each month goes by and we learn to use it more and the vendor's solutions improve and we're smarter about what we use it on, you just see that it's having this pervasive impact. But on the other hand, I don't think it's fully emerged yet, right? I think we're at the beginning of this and it will just gain momentum. But it really will make a difference. For example, when you're trying to measure the impact, we talk about outcome KPIs, right? So we release software at a cadence. It varies across the company. And you want to measure each one of those releases and look at all the dimensions that went into it and assess, well, okay, did I get a velocity improvement? Did I get an escaping quality improvement, et cetera, et cetera, right? Were my internal deployments more successful, more green deployments? And then isolating the AI contribution to that and measuring that becomes quite challenging. What we believe is as you deploy AI into all those different areas, you will see this pervasive impact, whether it's just from email, whether it's from a DevOps person working with some complex deployment scenario, it will just add up, right? And we're only beginning to really feel the impact of that.
So let's maybe go one level deeper. Is it worth picking apart the stages, let's say, in the software development lifecycle? Like, is there a place where you think, okay, you know, the majority of the impact should come here, right?
In the part of Amdocs that I'm from, it's the core products. If you just look statistically, we are about 70% developers and testers, right? So the tools that will impact the day-to-day coding, testing, deployments, et cetera, those will inevitably have the largest impact. And as those tools have evolved, as we started off with what I would call code completion AI initially, and some prompting things that we built ourselves, but then we've gradually adopted more commercial chat solutions for coding work, coding and testing. Those, I think we've seen quite an improvement. And I think within a core product engineering group, there will be an impact. And there's a lot of automation you can do there that then flows through the rest of the system, right? So that's obviously an area of focus. And it impacts a lot of people. But the people actually doing that work is a relatively small number, right? Now, if you then look at a group that's working with customers and is building stuff to order, customizing, it's a different dynamic, right? So for them, resource planning, so going to the actual management of the project itself, so being able to look at the history of all the projects you've done and then inference from that is fantastic, right? And it would provide much more effective resource planning, or looking at the solutions you've built and being able to automatically generate a skeleton of a solution that's much more accurate and focused, right? I think at the end of the day, will be coding for us, but the areas around it, oddly enough, we may see some bigger specific task improvements. So a marketing person, for example, their world could be transformed. An architect, maybe less, right? Because they're not necessarily doing something all the time that benefits from AI. Right. Everything is nuanced here. I mean, God is in the details of literally everything.
There's no generalized statements at this stage of the process, right? We all want to be able to talk about the impact, like you said, right? We all want to talk about the outcome. We all want to say 20% improvement in X and 30% improvement in Y. But there might also be a 5 to 10% decline in efficiency because of the review processes. So do you see a similar parallel, let's call it, in software development?
I think there's a complex answer to that. I think, as I said earlier, I think data hygiene will become a more important aspect of R&D people's lives than perhaps it was, right? You would post a lot of stuff on an internal wiki and people look at it and so on and so forth, right? But it becomes out of date. I think we all see that skills in prompting is critical. So you give people, as I just mentioned, chat coding assistance, right? If you really know how to exploit that, you can be far more efficient, right? And then to your point about shifting the focus, I think we will see people doing less actual code writing and more reviewing. And the effort will go into the prompting to ensure that the code that's being generated matches the requirements. And one of the things we've seen is where you're a developer is working, writing code, and in parallel, an AI agent is analyzing what they're doing and thinking about what the impact of that would be if it was to be deployed and operated. If you understand your deployment ecosystem, your testing ecosystem, if you understand the performance results, et cetera, if you see someone doing something that you know is going to cause a negative side effect, you can catch it right there. If you think about the developer's day-to-day job, they're more focused on the requirement, on translating that into something in terms of their prompting, and you hope that's done automatically. That's something else we're looking at,
right?
It will have impact everywhere, but I think it will be the less experienced people that get the biggest bang out of it initially, especially if they've really embraced learning to prompt, thinking about the interaction cycles and so on.
If you were to give unsolicited advice today to the developers that are just coming out of school or a couple of years in or something like that, what would you say, hey, focus on this? What should they be doing, right? Should they be looking at Copilot?
It's easy. I mean, I have three daughters and I've said to them, you've got to learn how to prompt, even if you're not doing it in your day-to-day job, just having that skill set. For young people right now, just understanding the basics of LLMs, RAG, prompting. You have to understand prompting and you have to understand it in the context of the work you're doing, right? So a tech pubs team may not be the biggest focus of what we do, right? So statistically, but it can have a huge impact, right? Because that's one thing it's quite good at is editorial review, right? So, but you've got to learn how to use it. So the prompting is critical.
We talked about like adoption up until this point. We talked about some of the evolution of the technology and how this may start to evolve. But like when you think about the developer of tomorrow, let's call it short term, tomorrow being literally tomorrow and the next 6 months. Do you think that team looks different? Is the composition changing tomorrow?
I think if you are in small, agile teams that are building stuff, a startup mentality or a prototyping team or a team building literally new things, I think if you're smart about the way you structure your requirements and you can then drive that out into, we use SAFe, right? So they do the requirements and then they want to generate skeleton UI tests so that you can generate the validation from the requirement, right? AI can help you with all of this, right? So for those kind of teams where the members of the teams are already multidisciplinary, in the right hands with the right tools, it really could change the way they work and accelerate things significantly, right? I think if you are supporting deployed systems, whether it's maintenance of those or the gradual evolution of functional change to those, it's a bit of a different dynamic. And in that case, I would like to believe that AI will cause an acceleration across the spectrum of activity, right? Now, I'm loath to say that you'll be able to do the same thing with a lot less people, simply because the history of the market is that we constantly demand more, right? So I think AI will help us with the productivity gain, which you can read as an efficiency gain, however you want to look at it, right? I'm not sure we'll see a radical change in the roles in general. The goal is to deploy them to do something new and opportunistic and grow. I would like to believe that it will just make everyone better. Right. Now, the key thing is, we touched on it a couple of times, you do need to check what's coming out of the AI engines, right? We don't have such an issue with sort of the ethical aspects of this within a software development team, because you're not really dealing with user related outcomes, right? But it's certainly a big thing for us is the security side of it, right? We are scanning the generated code to make sure that it complies. There's no snippets in there that clearly are licensed commercial code or restrictively open source licensed. We're running all our usual suite of security code against what's being generated. But the thing is, you actually need the employees to focus more on it, right? They're not actually writing the code themselves. So sometimes they're not as conscious of what's being generated.
Got it. Makes sense. We have one final question for this session, and it's going to come from Alex, our AI co-host. So Alex, over to you.
Thank you, Mike. So, Jeremy, if you had a crystal ball today and looked ahead 1, 2, or 3 years in the future, and Gen AI has already matured and evolved, what do you expect? What is the ultimate outcome here?
I'd like to believe that we will be more agile or able to respond to business opportunities faster. I'd like to believe that we will be able to do what you would call the grunt work at lower cost and much faster. I don't yet know exactly what the impact will be in a broader sense. One of the things that we're seeing, we work in quarterly increments, and it takes time to measure the outcomes, KPIs. The thing about the AI being a pervasive impact, lots of different tools, lots of different use cases and so on, is it is quite hard to isolate specific impact and then measure, okay, how much time does this persona spend on that a day? And how many people like that are there, et cetera. Building that complex model, we could use AI help with, by the way, but that is something we're learning as we're going here, right? Being able to do that bottom-up assessment and being able to then factor in the investment, right? We chose to focus on coding tools, coding and testing, because it has the biggest impact, the earliest impact. But there may be other areas that we haven't really tapped into yet that may be, you know, profound change, right? So for a company that has a diverse set of software engineering practices and businesses, I just believe the one thing you could say uniformly is that we will accelerate. And I would like to believe that the quality will improve. And our ability to maximize and optimize for the platforms we deploy to will improve because of the vendors themselves are introducing amazing AI capabilities in those platforms. Again, all of this should lead to a better user experience and a faster time to market. And so the whole industry is going to be interesting. Right? Everything's going to accelerate again. It's the rate of change is just staggering. And it's wonderful.
I was hoping that Alex was going to convince you to give a number. Everyone wants the magic number for what's going to happen in a year or 2 years or 3 years, but I think it was a very diplomatic answer.
I might be held to a number, so
I think we all will, but hopefully it's for the right reasons. And like you said, it's we see the productivity really play out the way that we think it does, and everyone can shift to these higher value tasks that I think we all believe is a possibility, is a thing that can happen, right? So I guess time will tell, right? We'll see how it shakes out. So Jeremy, thank you very much. We really appreciate you joining. This is a great discussion. I hope everyone who's listening enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Make it amazing.